Heavenly Father, as we come humble before your throne of grace, Lord, I come just lifting you up, Lord, and just worshiping you this morning. Thanking you once again, Lord, for another opportunity to be in the land of the living. And I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to share with your people, and thus save the Lord. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that as this vessel, Lord, yields itself to you, Lord, that you use it, Lord, according to your will and for your purpose. I pray right now, Lord, that every heart is open and ready to receive your word, Lord, that we all may grow thereby. And we thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, that we meditate in it day and night, and that we do all according that is written therein. For then, Father, we will make our way prosperous and have good success. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. For it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathways. We just thank you right now and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you got your Bible, let's confess the word of God. Amen. And say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am.
I am.
What it says I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
What it says I can do.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Not a doubter.
Not a doubter.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
Not just a hearer.
Not just a hearer.
And my life.
And my life.
Is the better.
Is the better.
After having heard.
After having heard.
The word of faith.
The word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing by.
And hearing by.
The word of God.
The word of God.
Amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to continue on in our series on God-type faith today. And I'm going to be coming again from the book of Mark. Mark chapter 6. If you would turn there to Mark chapter 6.
Amen.
And the title of the sermon today is Christ's Authority Over Your Circumstance.
Amen.
Christ's authority over your circumstances. And in this chapter, the message is centered around the only miracle of Jesus Christ that's recorded in all four of the Gospels. And that's the feeding of the so-called 5,000. And actually, it was probably closer to 15 to 20,000 people when you add the families in. Because according to Mark chapter 6, verse 44, it says the men alone numbered 5,000.
Amen.
Amen. And then it goes on to say in Matthew 14, 21, there were women and children besides. Amen. So we can assume that it was more than just 5,000 people there. Amen. Amen. Now, this miracle came about 2 years into Jesus' ministry when popular excitement over him had reached this fever pitch. Amen. And the messianic excitement was also at a fever pitch at this time. So when Christ came doing these miraculous things, the people began to flock to him. Amen.
Amen.
They liked what they saw. But it was the goodies that they were after. Not the message that he came to deliver. Mm-hmm. They wanted the goodies, the good stuff. And as it turned out, they didn't want him as their Messiah, as their Lord, you know, on their terms, on his terms. Mm-hmm. Now, the events leading up to this miracle are important, not only because they set the context, but what they reveal about the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Mark chapter 6, verse number 7 reads this. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He also said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, Shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Amen. Verse number 12. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and he healed them. Now, I want to just point one thing out here in verse number 11. It says, whoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. And what Christ is saying is this. When you go and you preach the gospel to someone, when you go and preach the gospel to someone, and the listener is there, and you preach the gospel to them, and they don't receive you, or better yet, they reject Jesus Christ, Christ is saying to the disciples, that's not your responsibility.
Amen.
Your responsibility is to tell them what the Word of God says.
Yes.
It's their responsibility what they do with the Word that you just gave them.
Amen.
Somebody need to hear that this morning.
Amen.
Your job is just to give them the message.
Uh-huh.
And you do it carefully and faithfully. And it's up to them to do with it whatever they're going to do with it.
Amen.
Your job is done. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, he sent these disciples out two by two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits and to cast out many devils and to preach that Christ was coming to repent, right?
Amen.
Then in verse 30, if you turn over to verse 30, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told them all things, both what they had done and what they had taught.
Mm-hmm.
So now the disciples are returning from their ministry trip. And they're telling Jesus, you know, that Jesus has sent them on. And they're telling him all that they had done and what they had taught. Amen. But the crowds were getting so large that they couldn't get time alone. So they, you know, they tried to get away, you know, in a boat. Now, verse 33 says, but the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities.
Mm-hmm.
They arrived before them and came together to him, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Amen. So Jesus saw all these spiritually lost people and needy people coming to him. And many, no doubt, were crippled and blind and couldn't speak and couldn't hear and vexed with unclean spirits and so on and so forth. And he saw them and his heart went out to them.
Mm.
I mean, what a picture of Jesus Christ, right? He's not only a person of power, but he's a person of infinite compassion. Mm. And the Bible says Jesus had compassion on this large crowd because the people were like sheep without a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
They were groping around for direction. Well, things haven't changed in 2,000 years, have they?
Mm-hmm.
Things haven't changed. People today still don't know how to make right decisions. They're spiritually defenseless and directionless without Christ. And they're vulnerable to the lures and the attacks of the enemy. But Jesus is a great leader. And his job as a shepherd is to lead the sheep to safe pastures and then protect them. So we often don't know which way to go and what decisions to make. But Jesus knows we are helpless, and he leads us as our great shepherd. Amen?
Amen.
And he can lead us with authority. Now, because here's the thing. No circumstances can thwart God's word. No circumstances can stop his word. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, that his word goes out and it shall not return back what?
Void.
It shall accomplish that thing that he sends it out to do. So nothing can stop God's word from going forth.
Amen.
Now, because Jesus is God and man, he feels what we feel. Right? And he can do something about it. And that's why the people in the old days could talk about Jesus as a lawyer in the courtroom. Right? Or a doctor in the sick room. Right? Or a father to the fatherless, or a mother to the motherless. Amen? See, to the sick, Christ was a balm in Gilead.
Yes, he was.
To those who need encouragement, he was the rose of Sharon. And to those who needed guidance, he was the bright and morning star.
Yes.
Amen. So the feeding of the 5,000 makes clear that Jesus Christ is Lord over any circumstances.
Yes. Yes. That's good.
Our need is to come to him as our merciful and faithful high priest in our time of need. And let me just prove that point to you. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 2, keep your finger in Mark. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 2. Let me know when you get there.
Amen.
Everybody there?
Yeah.
Verse number 17 says, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brother, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Go over to chapter 4, and let's look at verse number 14. This is one of the passages that we read last week. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14 reads, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses.
Amen.
But as in all points, tempted, was in all points tempted as we were, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need.
Amen.
So Christ, it's not like Christ don't know what we're going through. He's been there.
Amen.
He feels what you feel. Amen. Now Christ, he acts to meet our needs. He wants to meet our needs. And when you're facing a hungry crowd of 10 to 15 to 20,000 people, and it's getting close to dinner time, you better know where those provisions are coming from.
Amen.
Amen. Now the disciples didn't know it yet, but Jesus was going to teach them a lesson. Amen. He had met the people's need for spiritual food by teaching them. Now he was going to meet their needs for physical food. So as Jesus taught, the people gathered around him, and as the day was wearing on, it became apparent to the disciples that something needed to be done if they were going to get this crowd some food and get them home before it got too late. So they came to Jesus and they said in verse number 36 in Mark chapter 6, verse number 36, he says, send them away that they may go into surrounding countries and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Now, the disciples were basically saying, Jesus, look, the store's getting ready to close. Why don't you just give benediction so these people can go into town before everything closes down? Now, you got to remember that the disciples and Jesus had been trying to get some time alone, you know, for rest themselves. And Jesus' men, they were tired and they wanted to go home as well. Amen? Besides, they hadn't had anything to eat and they didn't have anything to feed these hungry people. But then Jesus challenges the disciples. Look at verse number 37. But he answered them and said, you give them something to eat. I mean, can you imagine the disciples' surprise at what happens next? You know, they might have even been there a little sarcasm there. You know, being a penny is worth, you know, a day's wages, and they had all these people to feed. You know, can you imagine what happened there? So what I want to do is share with you what happened there, but I want to look at John's account in John chapter 6. Go over there. Keep your finger in Mark. Let's go over to John chapter 6, and let's see what happens here. John chapter 6. Keep your finger in Mark.
Amen.
You know, because John tells us, you know, that Philip and Andrew were, they were in on this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I believe he probably asked Philip to take care of the situation because Philip was actually from the area. He was from Bethesda. Amen. Mm-hmm. So Jesus, what he did was he got the homeboy, you know, that was from that area, who knew the place better than anybody else. But Jesus knew Philip didn't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was a test. So look at John chapter 6, verse number 5. And it says, then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So listen, when Jesus asks a question, it's not to gain information.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
When Jesus inquires of you, it's to test you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. See, it's, you know, the last I checked, Jesus was the one who could turn water into wine. The last I checked, Jesus was the one that can heal people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He was the one that had spiritual power. Yet he turned to Philip and said, what are you going to do about this?
Mercy.
I mean, can you just picture the look on Philip's face?
Huh.
And because I think it's the same look that that we have when we're facing a seemingly impossible situation. Huh? And rather than Jesus meeting the need, he says to you, he says, Bridget, what are you going to do about this?
Mm.
RJ, what are you going to do about this impossible situation?
Mm.
Hmm? You know the look you get? You want God to answer the question for you, but he said, John, you do it.
Yes.
What are you going to do about it? Lord, I got this sickness in my body. He goes, well, what are you going to do about it? And I'm sure Philip, he must have panicked and he began to calculate. He, you know, minus the one, carry the three, plus four. You got 10,000 over here, 5,000 over here. Can you just imagine he just started calculating what was going on? And, you know, one denarius equals one day's wages in labor. You know, 2,000 denarius would be about eight months of salary. Philip was saying, Lord, this ain't going to work. This is impossible. Even if we had 8 months' wages, it wouldn't be enough to give everybody but just a few crumbs. He says, besides, we can't feed this crowd with crumbs. He says, these people might want seconds. In other words, this is what he was saying, really. Lord, this ain't in the budget.
Wow.
This ain't in the budget to do it. Now Philip, he was the logical one. And he's saying, there's no way that we can feed these people. Lord, this is impossible. This is too big. We can't afford it. Where are we going to find the money? It's just like some of you saying to Pastor, we're trying to build this building over there. Where are we going to get the money? That ain't in the budget. Pastor, that's an impossible feat, trying to build that 90 by 90 square foot building over there. That's impossible. And I know we all know folks like Philip. People who face those insurmountable circumstances of life and only see how it can't be done. Come on, somebody. Talk to me, church. Don't get quiet. People who bring out the bank statement and show you down to the denarius why we can't do it. I didn't ask you for the bank book.
Amen.
Wow.
God ain't asking you for your bank book.
Uh-huh.
Come on now.
People can give every reason in the world why they can't get the victory over their circumstances.
Yeah.
And why their case is unsolvable. That's Philip.
Yeah.
He's talking about God-type faith here.
Yeah.
I'm talking about feeding 20,000 people. Pastor, you're talking about we're talking about Boca putting up a 9,000 square foot building.
Amen.
And you pull up a checkbook. I didn't ask you for the checkbook.
Amen.
It's quiet in here.
Amen.
I'm not asking you for the checkbook. Now, standing next to Philip was Andrew. Okay? And Andrew was Peter's brother. And Andrew was a little more optimistic than Philip. Mm-hmm. If you look at John chapter 6, verse number 8, it says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish." No, barley loaves were little round cakes, and it was considered a poor people's dinner, or poor people's food, amen? And there wasn't a lot of it. And it would be like the equivalent of having maybe some sardines and crackers. Mm. Amen? So Philip, remember, he saw no way the crowd could be fed. That was Philip. Andrew now had a little more vision, except that his hope was punctuated by a big negative right in the middle of his statement. Look at the end of verse number 9. Mm-hmm. It says, "But there are among us so many." So he's saying, "Well, we have some food here, but it can't do much."
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, Philip saw nothing. Andrew saw something.
Yeah, come on.
But neither one of them was looking in the right direction towards Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See? And see, because Jesus Christ is the authority over every circumstance.
Yes.
See, whether something can or can't be done is never the question when God is in the formula.
Amen.
The only question is whether it's His will or not. See, this was true with the feeding of the 5,000. Now, the other person that was involved in this miracle here was this little boy who gave his lunch to Jesus. Amen. And Andrew had found the little boy and brought him to Jesus, so we can be sure that he was willing, you know, to let Jesus have what he had. And I want to say that again. You can be sure that this little boy was willing to let Jesus have what he had.
Amen.
Amen. This boy didn't have much. See, because this was considered a poor person's meal.
Right.
But watch this. The little that he had, he gave it to Jesus.
Amen.
Watch this. When he realized that Jesus was asking for it.
Amen. Amen. Mm. Thank you, Jesus.
The little that he had, he gave it to Jesus. So, what I want to let you in on, a little secret, is this. There's a danger of holding out on God.
Come on.
There's a danger of holding out on God. Now I don't know how old this boy was or what he was thinking, but I know most boys, you know, how most boys are about their food. You know what I'm saying? Hey, check this out. Now, I was with my grandson the other day. We was watching the Penguins, right? And he had a little bowl of Halos, a little oranges, right? And so I asked him, he had a bowl full. And I said, "Let me get one of them." He looked at me like, "Where?"
That's a bowl in the refrigerator.
He had a smile on his face, but he was looking at me like, "Get your own." And I'm like, "Grandpa, can I have one?" My point is that I had to go through some things to get, you know, one of those little pieces of orange from him. Amen. For I know how little boys are about their food. This boy was probably saying to Andrew, this is my food. Mm-hmm. You know, my mama gave me this food.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not going to give it to Jesus or anybody else. This boy could have been like a lot of believers who talk a good game spiritually.
Come on now.
But when it comes to letting go of what they have mm-hmm. and making it available to Jesus, they want to keep it to themselves.
Amen. Yes.
Now, I figured I'd get more than two hand claps on that. Come on now, somebody. Talk to the church. Speak to me this morning.
Amen.
So I want to ask you this question that I often ask myself. Are you holding something back from God? Are you holding something back from God?
Mercy.
Yeah. Whether it be your gift, your time, your talent, mm-hmm. your money,
yes.
your availability,
mm.
are you holding something back from God? See, Jesus has the power to take whatever it is from you.
Wow.
He has the power to do that.
Yes.
But that's not how he works. Amen. He doesn't work that way. He wants you to bring it to him willingly, saints.
Yeah.
Amen. Otherwise, if you hold back from God, you lose. Mm. Right? Not only that, others that could have been blessed through you, they lose too.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let me show you an example of holding back on God. Now keep your finger in Mark, but go over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5.
Amen.
Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, she had full knowledge mm-hmm. that they had sold this possession, right? And brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you lied to God.
Mercy.
There's a danger in holding out on God.
Amen.
And it's not that Ananias and Sapphira was stingy with what they had. They sold what they had, and they could have given any portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem came in when they were dishonest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's when the sin came in.
Mm-hmm.
When they were dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When they were dishonest, and they allowed greed and covetousness to set in.
Amen.
And Peter said, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You didn't lie to, you ain't lying to me. You hear him say, you're not only lying to me. You're lying to others. You're lying to yourself.
Yes.
And more importantly, you're lying to God. Right? So watch what happened. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell to the ground and breathed his last breath. So great fear came upon all these who heard this thing. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch this, verse 7. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened to him. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you agreed together to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband is at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. There's a danger of holding out on God's saints.
Mercy.
Amen. There's a danger of holding out on saints. I want you to hear that. There's a danger of holding out on saints. This little boy could have eaten that lunch, but thousands of others would have gone away hungry.
Yes.
Amen. So there's a danger when you're holding out on God. You're not holding back out on me. You're thinking that, well, I'm going to hold back on Pastor. It ain't just me you're holding out on. Amen. You're holding out on God.
Amen.
See, Deacon read earlier, there's a curse.
Come on.
When you don't bring what you're supposed to bring.
Amen.
But see, God, you know, how he operates is he meets his needs through people.
Right, right.
Right? God meets the needs of his people through people. Go back to Mark chapter 6, verse 39. Let me know when you get there.
Amen.
Verse 39 says, then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in orders, in hundreds and in fifties. Amen. So God right here is a God of order. He had them all set down like rows of vegetables.
Mm.
Right? He set them all down because he's a God of order.
Right?
Right? So they're all set down and Jesus got this crowd organized because he was about to use the disciples to carry out the food to the people. To carry the food out to the people. Right? So Jesus delegated his authority through the disciples so the people would be fed and the disciples would learn a vital lesson here.
Mm-hmm.
See, society is always benefited when God's people understand and tap into Christ's authority.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. See, Jesus was going to create a miracle, you know, of multiplying the bread and the fish, but it was the disciples who were going to take the food to the multitudes.
Right.
Right? So through the hands of the disciples, the miracles was going to reach the people who needed it.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 41. And when he had taken the loaves and two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. Jesus took this boy's lunch and gave thanks for it. Now, here's the lesson for the disciples. And I can imagine that when Jesus began to pray, Philip and Andrew were looking at each other saying, pray for what? Five loaves and two pieces of fish? But what Jesus did was he gave thanks for what he had.
Right.
He gave thanks for the little that he had.
That's good. Yes.
And being thankful doesn't mean that you have to pretend that you don't have any needs.
Right, right.
Amen? You may need a dependable car.
Right.
But thank God you're not walking.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You may want a house. But thank God you got an apartment over your head with a roof.
Amen. Thank you.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You may want a steak,
mm-hmm.
but you ain't got nothing but hot dogs and refrigerator. Thank God for the little things that you have. Jesus gave thanks because he had something and because he was anticipating more.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
He could give thanks for that small lunch because he was looking toward heaven.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
See, Jesus' focus wasn't on the food, but it was on the Father. Right? It wasn't on the food, it was on the Father.
Amen.
Because Jesus is God is the provider of the food.
Amen.
And after Jesus prayed, he broke the loaves and divided the fish until all the people in that huge crowd had eaten and they were all satisfied.
That's good. That's good.
There you go.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, after looking toward heaven,
yes,
the food just kept multiplying.
Yes.
See, and it wasn't as if they passed around those loaves of bread and people just broke off a little piece, you know, until they had, you know, until the bread was gone. Mark says the people ate until they couldn't eat another bite.
Right.
See, what I'm saying to you is that your blessing is in the breaking.
Yes.
Come on now. Come on.
That's what you're pushing. God can't bless you if he can't break you.
Yes.
Why? Let me ask you this question. Why would God bless you and give you more if he can't break you and give you more only for you to turn around and not give it back to him to glorify him?
Yes.
That don't even make sense.
Amen.
Why would he do that? Your blessing is in the breaking.
Amen.
God wants to break us so that he can bless us.
Yes.
Amen. And I want you, don't forget, now this was a hungry crowd of people.
Yes.
Amen. They had been out there almost all day with nothing to eat. Now, Philip and Andrew had probably, and probably the other 10 disciples may have been weak in their faith and small in their vision, but when it was all over, they were the ones that God used to bring the authority of Christ.
Come on now.
They were the ones God used to bring together the authority of Christ with the needs of the crowd. They were the ones he used.
Yes.
And when that happened, miraculous provision occurred.
Yes.
And what I'm saying is this. God still meets people's needs through his people.
Amen.
Yes.
See, but that means that you and I have to be what he wants us to be and where he wants us to be so that he can use us for his master. You understand what I'm saying? We got to be what God wants us to be.
Yes.
And we got to be where God wants us to be.
Yes.
Amen. And the good news is that God can, he can do a lot with whatever we give him.
Yes. Thank you.
Amen. No matter how little it is. I mean, because it's all through the Bible.
Amen.
Right? We see how God done so much with just a little. I mean, how about the Hebrew boy that was found crying in the Nile River? Became adopted into Pharaoh's family. You remember, right? Becomes Israel's deliverer. Right? Moses, huh? How about David? Little David killed a giant with a slingshot. Destroyed the whole Philistine army. Or how about the widow woman who
just a little bit.
She had one meal left to her name. No job. But she gave that meal to the prophet Elijah. And she ended up having more food to last her for that whole that whole family.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Because when a little is given to God, he multiplies it, and it becomes a lot.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. See, Jesus, he rewards his workers. He does that. He rewards his workers. After Jesus used the disciples to meet the needs of for the food, he then taught the disciples another important lesson. Watch this, verse number 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and the fish. He told them to collect what was left. Now, who do you think those 12 baskets of food was for? They were for the disciples. Why? Because they had been busy helping, organizing, and serving the crowd.
Yes.
And they hadn't eaten yet. And they were hungry too. But they were busy helping. In other words, they were about the Father's business.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, take care of my business first. And I'll take care of you. In other words, he's saying, invest in my kingdom.
Yes.
Right? And you won't lose.
Thank you, Jesus.
My authority will reach to cover your needs too. And God always picks up the tab for the servants who's fulfilling his will.
Amen.
I mean, if you try to fulfill your own will, then you got to pick up the tab.
Amen.
Amen. See, Jesus worked through the disciples.
Yes.
And then he rewarded them.
Yes.
Amen. And he rewarded them with a basket full of fragments of peace.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What an abundance that was. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
So here's my final point on this miraculous example of Christ's authority over your circumstances. Mm-hmm. This story and the following events unfolded according to Jesus' agenda, mm-hmm. and no one else's.
Amen.
You and I can't force Jesus to meet our needs whenever we feel like it. After Jesus had performed this great miracle in front of so many people, probably the equivalent of a small city, right? With this little boy's lunch, mm-hmm. we shouldn't be surprised at what happened next. Go over to John chapter 6. Go back to John chapter 6. And let's look at verse number 14. Are you there?
Amen.
Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who was to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountains by himself alone. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
These people were saying, "He's the man. We got to grab him and make him our king. Because anyone who can take 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish and turn it into a cat and D's fish sandwich mm-hmm. ought to be our king." In other words, the people saw Jesus as their meal ticket. They saw him as a miracle worker who can keep them fed and satisfied. Amen. And listen, being the people's bread-making king wasn't on Jesus' agenda.
Amen.
The cross was.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So he withdrew before the crowd to take before they could take any action.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is not interested in being our sugar daddy.
Amen.
Come on.
He didn't come to build a welfare system.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But he came to build the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
And Jesus has all the authority we'll ever need, both now and for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes on his term.
Amen.
And as I said this before, if you try to make Jesus function on your terms, then he'll withdraw from you.
Mm. Mercy.
See, he doesn't hang out with people who only want his benefits.
Mm.
It doesn't work to say, "Lord, I don't have enough. I don't have time for the spiritual food that you have for me, but feed me my daily bread anyway."
Mm.
It doesn't help to say, "Help me be successful in my job, but don't ask me to be a testimony for my coworkers." It doesn't help to say, "Give me more money," even though I'm not going to make any of it available for your kingdom anyway.
Come on now.
God, bless me. Bless me, Lord. Well, he may bless you in spite of yourself. But over the long haul, if you only want God's blessings but no real relationship, you won't see his power or presence working in your life.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus came to exercise his authority as a king, as the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
Not to be a meal ticket who you and I want him to produce on our command.
Mm.
So the question I'm going to ask you today is, whose authority do you want operating in your circumstance?
Amen.
Amen.
If we insist on having the final word, We won't see any insurmountable obstacles falling before us. But if we will bow down to Christ's authority, there'll be no need to panic. Even when there's a large, hungry crowd coming to the party. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on and give God some praise, somebody.
Amen.
The altar is open.
Amen.
The altar is open. I know that we got some circumstances and things going on in our lives. But I'm going to ask you today to bring what little you have. Honey, I want you to grab our checkbooks. Bring our checkbooks up here. See, Jesus took what was available. And he multiplied it.
Yes.
And I want you to bring whatever it is that you're holding up to, whether it's your faith, whether it's your little testimony, whether it's your little praise, your little abilities. Bring it to God. Bring them up here.
It says, when the wise men came,
let's get rid of these to the place situations and circumstances.
It says, when they saw him, they fall down.
Amen.
And worship
him. Come on, Sam. I know you got some stuff to give.
Yeah.
You hold on to it, it ain't going to help you.